This is Brendan Dillon, defenseman with the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Welcome to the Front Row Podcast. This is episode 66. Please welcome Tyler. How's it going?
Hey, buddy. Great to be back on the show. It's been, you know, probably about a month or two, maybe longer. I don't think so, but hopefully you're having a good summer, and I'm very happy to be back on the show and chatting with you here. So,
yes, thanks. Yes, and I think it was back as episode 63 you were on. So, and four great guests since then, so.
Yeah, you know, I kind of got to rub elbows with some of your guests here, and you've had a very star-studded list of guests over the years you've been doing the podcast, so it's always an honor to be brought back on here with all these all-stars, including yourself.
Yes, and you and I have been doing that Puck Dooku. So,
yeah.
You sit there and just trying to think what player will sit in that bracket and say, like, some you do like 0.0% up to like 100%.
You know, that has kept me sharp over the last month that's been going on. We send it back and forth every day. For those that don't entirely know, Puck Dooku, I believe it was started on the Puck Soup podcast by, if I'm not wrong, it was Sean McIndoe, who is Down Goes Brown, better known as on Twitter. He didn't start it, but kind of came up with the idea. And then another guy, I just read an article about it on The Athletic, but then another guy, just a fan, developed the program for it. And released it just at the beginning of summer, I believe. And man, as somebody who's never ever done a Sudoku, this Puck Dooku, much more enjoyable for the hockey nerd. A little tough for the average fan, but for guys like you and I, it sure is a good way to wake up and have my breakfast. And when I was in the hospital a few weeks ago, I did it every single morning. And we sent it back and forth. So nice to see what kind of answers you come up with, because I know you're pretty hardcore and you'll dig real deep. So it's a lot of fun.
Yes, there's 2 days where I picked my former guest in a bracket and he's 0.0%. Like,
yes, Josh Green. You might have been the only guy who guessed him. No offense to Josh.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better than when you pull off a guess and you see it at 0% or 0.1 or 0.2, that's when you know a thing or two. So,
and I was like, oh man, it's like no one with LA in there, like,
yeah,
LA player, pick a LA player that's like played with five teams or more. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was going to throw Josh Green in there. I'm surprised that it came up like that. And then I picked him again for Calgary, New York Rangers.
Well, that's the beauty of that game, right? Because you could easily, like, you know what? Luke Robitaille. Or I think of another LA King that's played for a pile of teams. Jerome McGinley, I think, has played for five teams, right? So you could go with any of those guesses. They're probably a little more popular. Or you can go completely off the board with a guy like Josh Green, who hasn't played in the NHL for over 20 years, or probably close to 20 years. So those guys, you know, like I said, no offense to Josh Green. I never played a day in the NHL. But those guys are easily forgotten, right? So there's nothing, like I said, nothing better when you get a 0%er. So for those of your listeners who haven't played Puck Dooku, challenge the Front Row Podcast host, Don Ross, and you will be in for a treat.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to pick a name that's from back in the day, like Montreal. You have a long list of players to choose from.
And, yes.
And to a team like Vegas or Seattle, the selection is very slim.
Yeah, it can be a little bit easier, but you end up with a much higher percentage generally when you're guessing Seattle or even Columbus Blue Jackets players, or in this case, Florida Panthers players today. They had to pick a player who played for one team their entire career, and it was the Panthers who were the option. And to be honest, they haven't had too many career Panthers other than the guys who are current, or maybe a couple guys who played two seasons or, you know, under 30 games back in the day. But like I said, that's the beauty of the game. You can go all over the place. Today, I guess Manitoban Trevor Kidd is a player who played for both Calgary and Florida. Yeah. And only 1% of people got him. So,
yeah, he probably was just one season and he was it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He actually, I looked it up. He played 100 games, 100 and, 100 and something games with the Panthers. I was like, I barely remember that.
That's probably
like, but he was drafted before Marty Brodeur in 1990.
So
interesting career there. So the legend, Trevor Kidd.
Like, I'm kind of surprised now. They probably go back to that day. If they go back to a redraft, and they probably pick Brodeur over Trevor Kidd.
Do you know what happened in that draft? I don't know entirely, but off the top of my head, I do know that the Devils did trade down. I think they may have had the 11th pick, and they traded down with Calgary because they knew they were going to get their guy. Might be worth having Trevor Kidd on the podcast one day if it's ever possible and asking him about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting story there because the, you know, one of them won couple hundred more games than the other. Not that Trevor Kidd had a bad career, it's just the other had a, you know, much better career.
Yeah, sometimes, like, it's the luck of the draw, you know, just go to the right team and you just blossom into a great player, goalie, or whatever, right?
Look at the Boston Bruins back in 2015 when they drafted the three players. I think it was Jake DeBrusk, Jake Zaboral, and Zach Sinishin, and they drafted them three in a row. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
13, 14, and 15th pick, I think, and then Kyle Connor was the 17th pick. And then I think Matt Barzal was right in there, too.
Yeah, Barzal was there, too, yeah, after them.
Barzal, Connor, I think they missed Thomas Chabot from your Ottawa Senators. So,
yeah.
Hey, that's the thing about the draft and these Puktoku games, you really, you know, when you're looking for answers and you want to confirm and dive into the database a little bit later or while you're playing, sure, it's a lot of fun. You learn a lot.
Yeah, so sometimes I just sit there, it's like, I have a brain fart, it's like, oh man. And then after you're done completion, you can hit the square and it's like, and see all the lessons. Oh, why couldn't I think of that name?
Why couldn't I think of Eric Staal that played for the Hurricanes and the Panthers? Like, he just played for the Panthers. Why couldn't I have thought of that?
Oh, well, Eric Staal, he'd been
in. Trevor Kidd would have been an answer there, too.
like, not a lot of people know Eric Staal and Mark Staal played both in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like,
oh yeah, he did too, eh?
Yeah.
Weird.
So yeah.
Weird,
so,
eh?
Yeah, Mark Staal went Rangers, Wings to Panthers, and Eric Staal, Carolina to Rangers. And then he went to Minnesota, and then Buffalo, Montreal, ended up in Florida.
And that's true, eh? And let's say there's a square and you got a matchup, Carolina Hurricanes and players who've played their entire career there. You could actually pick the only Staal that would work would be the youngest one, Jared Staal, because he played two games. He'd be the only one. That's the funny part about that game. That was his entire career. So there's an answer.
Or you can pick a player that was a Hurricane, but never a Whaler, right? Like a Whaler instead of a Hurricane, right? So,
yeah, like, I guess Glenn Wesley wouldn't be a guy because I think he played for the Bruins. But, yeah, that's you could find a career Hartford Whaler or for the Phoenix Coyotes or Arizona Coyotes. You could find a career Winnipeg Jet like Thomas Steen would be a good answer, right? So,
yeah, and yeah. That's the thing, like, when people see, like, the Hurricanes logo or Coyotes logo or, like, the current Jets logo, they never think about, like, oh, yeah, I can pick a Thrasher or a Whaler or pick a Jet, like, a original Jet.
Right,
Or Deke with Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a pretty darn cool game. Definitely happy to play it with you every day. So.
Yeah, and there's like that one there that was like you can fit a former NHLer is like Todd Pattuzzi or a.
Yeah, you know what? In the Athletic article by I think it was Sean McIndoe that wrote it. He was talking about how he interviewed the guy in the article that created it, and he was talking about how a few weeks ago there was actually an error in it regarding, I can't remember what player it was. And so I guess the guy just got completely roasted with emails and stuff and complaints about the puzzle. But then also he got a ton of complaints about that Todd Bertuzzi one, because if you remember when we were doing it with a friend of the show, Theo Seegers, you could have put Todd Bertuzzi in every single square, like you just said. And people complained about it. So, but he mentioned that he didn't intend for that. So that's the thing. You can be as creative as you want with these things. Or he can be, anyway. So.
Yeah, and in a short few weeks, maybe training camp into exhibition to regular season for the NHL.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. Hey, we're just about halfway through August. Unfortunately, I missed part of the summer there, like while I was laid up, like I said. But yeah, it's coming quick. We already had the rookie camp a little while back. The Jets prospects seem to get rave reviews with the fans, which was really, really nice to see. I'm not sure if you've talked about that in any of your previous podcasts, but it's nice to see that the pipeline looks good. It seems like they've drafted some really good people. At the very least, and hopefully equally as good of players.
Yes, and that's the thing. There's two players, at least two players I can think of right now. They're in their last year of the contract is Hellebuck and Trifley.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were both kind of rumored to be moving throughout the summer, but I guess the longer it goes on, the more likely it looks like they're going to start the season with the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know if you agree with that, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. They should... I don't know, I'm not sure if their value is higher now or at the trade deadline, so time will tell.
Yeah, right? That's true. I think they'll kind of go through a lull as the season goes on as far as value goes, right? But I feel like as they inch closer to the deadline, I think their value will go up. The only unfortunate thing is... their value probably would have been the highest where we're at right now because, you know, they still had a full year left in their contract. It's $6 million, I think, each or around there. So I think that their hands were kind of tied, right? The NHL seems to be going to more of that 1A, 1B goalie model, right? And with Hellebuck being one of the last of the workhorses that are left, like goalies like him and Vasilevsky, there are two that I can think of that are extremely durable, that never really get hurt and are pretty much guaranteed to give you 30 wins, 30, 35 wins. If you're Vasilevsky, probably 40. But I think the market's tricky for a guy like Hellebuck. He suits the need of a team like the Devils, who I'm a fan of. I think that's a player that you could bring in, but also they had to sign some players like Timo Meier just in the offseason. So it's difficult to project where a guy like that will land, because really a guy like Hellebuck can probably command $9 million a season. But if you look at the past Stanley Cup winner this season, and especially last year with the Avalanche winning with, I think they won with Darcy Kemper the year before, do teams really need to spend $9 million on their goaltending? Or are they able to win the cup? It's kind of like how Chicago won with Antti Niemi back in 2010. Like, so every once in a while, you'll get those teams that lean on their goalies, but then you see a team like Colorado do it. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. You're only good as your best team, right? So, it's like
100%.
Yeah,
you look at Hellebuck in those years where the Jets have been, I guess they've been pretty bad defensively, and Hellebuck looks like he's human, right? But then you get a year like last year where you got a good coach in who plays a bit more of a defensive system, and you see an improved goaltender. So I think you're like you just said, you're only as good as your team is in front of you. And ask a guy like Marty Brodeur about that back in the 2000s, right? there are a ton of people that argue that, you know, a goalie like Dominik Hasek was better than even Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur, because of it didn't matter what team was in front of him, Hasek was going to stand on his head and make 40 saves. So goalie's such a tricky position when it comes to money, when it comes to term. Hellebuck's 30. He's never really been hurt. So I wouldn't be afraid of signing a guy like that long term. But who knows?
Yeah, it's not a lot of people know that Hasek was a backup for Ed Belfour.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. Hey, he was the backup for Chicago back in the day.
Yes.
One of the craziest goalie log jams, I think, recently, well, I guess not recently, would have been in San Jose back in the day when before they went out and got Joe Thornton. They had Evgeny Nabokov, and then they had Vesa Toskala. I don't know if you remember Toskala. He played for the Leafs there.
Yeah.
And then you know who their third stringer was before they traded him?
Who?
Mika Kiprusoff.
Oh, yeah, and then they traded him to Calgary.
Yeah, they traded him to Calgary, yeah. And he had just as equally of a good career as Nabokov, if not better. Yeah, pretty cool. You just never know with goalies.
Yeah, that's the thing, Zay.
Yeah.
Goalies are weird that, like, on certain teams are, like, not so good, and other teams are, like, they're stellar.
Totally. Sergei Bobrovsky with the Blue Jackets and Tortorella running the system. He was a Vezina goalie for 3 or 4 years, and then he goes to Florida and he's letting in 3 goals a game. So,
yeah,
you never know.
Yes, and so you and I watched SummerSlam last weekend.
Yeah. Yes, we did. SummerSlam. It was great to have you over.
And it was a good pay-per-view.
It was. I think what you're probably going to say is the main event was a little bit slow, hey?
Yes, and drawn out and like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought most of the matches were pretty good to kick things off. I really enjoyed the Seth Rollins and Finn Balor match. I thought that one was really good, incorporating the Judgment Day into it the way that they did, and how they didn't matter what they did, Seth Rollins found a way. So,
yes, and Monday Night Raw is coming to Winnipeg on the 14th.
Tomorrow. Well, I guess by the time this episode comes out, it might be the day. So,
yeah.
I'm sure it'll be a good crowd, as it always is. I know when we were at SmackDown, it was pretty packed compared to AEW when it was here. So it doesn't matter what wrestling promotion comes in. I think it's a great time for wrestling fans to kind of come together and boo or cheer their favorite wrestler, whether it's LA Knight or Finn Balor, guy like that. So.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, even. Kenny Omega.
Like, they went pretty well over here with them being, regardless of either heel or good guys, they go over as a good guy, right? Like, the pop for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Just a heads up, my kids are home, so they may be joining me on this interview. I will give you a little more warning if I need to. But, yes, no, it I thought AEW was a great show. That promotion's really, really took off and done extremely well. So,
yes. Did you hear about the pastor that became an attorney?
I did not.
He's a father-in-law.
Actually, I think he told me that last time I saw you. You need new material. That's a good one. I like that.
Okay. Yes. So, what's your, I know that Jets haven't started, but what's your projections for where the Jets land this year?
I feel like they're probably going to be around right where they were last year. I think I would guess they're probably going to get off to a pretty good start this season and probably contend as the year goes on. I think last year a lot of things went wrong. I think they moved out the right players. I think they'll miss a guy like Blake Wheeler. I think a guy like Pierre Luc Dubois brought a lot to the table. But I feel like with some fresh faces in there, I don't know. I know they brought back Rick Bonus, but they got a good haul from the LA Kings. You know, the LA guys like Iafallo, I think will be, you know, pretty valuable. I think Gabe Vilardi's got a lot to prove. That Rasmus Kupari was a first round pick. And so I think what they got in that trade was quite good for Pierre-Luc. And so, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to end up as well. I think that some teams got better. I think, especially in the Western Conference, I think Calgary is really going to benefit from their coaching change, and they'll probably be in contention with Winnipeg for, you know, let's say a wild card spot. That's kind of where I see them ending up. I still think Colorado and Dallas are, you know, the tops of the Central Division, and, you know, even Nashville has gotten a little bit better. I could see Winnipeg sitting in the wild card spot come playoff time, and if that's the case, that would almost be worst case scenario too, because if you're sitting in a playoff position, are you wanting to trade Connor Hellebuck or Mark Scheifele? So then you go into the playoffs and then you risk losing them for nothing. So not really sure how I feel about this team. They're kind of in that no man's land a little bit, where they can't really gain any ground, and would almost be beneficial for them to bottom out. But if, you know, they can't find that right market for Hellebuck or Scheifele, those are two good players that are going to, you know, give them some wins and some goals. So difficult to be happy with them finishing in a wild card spot. Like I said, you know, you want them near the top or the bottom. It's kind of where I'm.
That's the
thing. I think any Hawk fan can say that.
Yeah, that's the thing where teams like, oh, we don't want to overpay for a goalie right now. Let's hold our cards. But you don't know if your goalie goes down at the beginning of the year or during the season before trade deadline. If your goalie goes down and you need one, and that will skyrocket Hellebuck's value. Like, hey, let's give you what you want from him, and we're in the playoff spot. We need a good, sturdy goalie, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious because they did bring in, speaking of sturdy goalies, they brought in Stanley Cup champion Laurent Brossoit. They brought him back. And as far as I know, those two have trained together in the offseason. They're good pals. They play a similar style. And so wonder if that was a move. I remember reading Laurent Brossoit talking a little bit about how he hopes to form, and this was back during the trade rumors, and he said he hopes to form the best tandem in the league with Hellebuck to kind of help push him a little bit, because he didn't play a ton when Hellebuck was the starter, or when Brossoit was the backup. So I'm kind of curious if that was a move by the Winnipeg Jets almost as insurance to be like, hey, you know, we brought in your buddy here. You're pretty established in your roles. You both work well. You've worked well together in the past. And so I'm kind of curious if that move was, an insurance move brought in by the Jets to kind of convince Hellebuck, like, hey, this is a place where you do have a opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. It might not be in the next couple of years, but look at the pipeline. Look at guys like McGroarty and Lambert and the young fellow that they just drafted there. I'm missing his name here for a second. Colby Barlow, right? So, Villanueva. Like, they still have a number of good prospects coming up. So might get a bit of a lull here, but if you can convince a goalie like Hellebuck to stay, I mean, I think the Jets, you know, it might be a few more years before they're back near the top, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it. I think they've done really, really well and very loyal to their players here.
Yes, and that's the thing. I feel bad for Hinola. Like, he's up and down in the last few years, and
yeah. You remember when he started with the team when he was 18?
Yeah, so it's like, that's the thing. It's like, some, like, up and down, and I don't know, he's probably getting frustrated that he's not sticking with the Jets.
You look at a player like Gwanke from the Moose. Never got a shot with the Jets and was often the Moose's best defenseman. I know you've seen him plenty in the past, but he's a good player. And he went and signed, a 4-year contract in Germany. And then right after that, he took the out on his contract once the Jets traded him to the Sharks. And he'll probably play for the Sharks next year.
Yeah, and that's the things that you probably flourished there in San Jose Sharks.
And yeah, when you've got veteran defensemen like Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon and Neil Pionk, like that's $15 million between the three of them. They're gonna play. They're not gonna put those guys on the shelf. I could maybe see one of them being traded at some point this year if the team tanks, but
I think Dillon's another one that's on his last year of his contract too.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so Dillon would probably be the guy that you'd see leave. I wouldn't want to see him because he's a solid player and friend of the show. But
yeah,
it's tough because you got a guy like Logan Stanley. I think he requested a trade, and Enola, maybe he's not far from that. So we'll see what. And Declan Chisholm from the Moose. I think if he goes back to the Moose this year, he's got to go through waivers, I believe. So they risk losing him.
Yeah. So. You say we won't eat not too long left, so until preseason and so.
Yeah, summer's coming to an end quick here. I'm excited to strap on the skates and sit down and I'm sure you'll be taking in some preseason hockey within a month here, so.
Yeah, and hockey season starting soon. Your oldest is probably strapping in on the skates soon, and then
We're gonna have to put his gear on him. Yeah, we'll see if it all fits. He's grown like a weed. We'll see. And then the other one, he's been wanting to wear his skates in the basement, so probably gonna go do that right away as soon as we're done here.
Just remember, keep your stick on the ice and the head up.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, buddy. I really, really enjoyed spending the half an hour with you here. So,
yeah. Thanks. Drive safely.
Yes. Stay classy.